Every play, every stat, every breakdown, on their own they're essential, but altogether they're undeniable. Introducing Huddle Instat, a new advanced data platform that integrates with sports code and every Huddle product you rely on to create an all-in-one data powerhouse. Huddle Instat's advantaged tagging and next-level stat reports help you develop your team, and its global film library helps you find the missing pieces to get the most out of every second of film. Learn more at huddle.com/aquicktimeout.
Want to welcome head coach for the Illinois State Redbirds, Coach Ryan Peden. Coach, great to have you on the show.
Tony, great to be with you, man. Thanks for having me.
Year one there in Illinois State. Prior to that, a longtime assistant, Butler, Illinois, Ohio State, just to name a few of the schools there. Coach, the biggest change for you as a head coach versus being assistant was what?
Oh, man, I can't say one thing, Tony. I would tell you a couple of things, but one is the schedule, having a schedule and being tied to a schedule. I'm now very much tied to our calendar. We've got TeamWorks that we utilize within our program that we operate now at a high level. I rely on at a high level. So being tied to a daily schedule is different as a head coach because of all the different compartments and different areas that you have to be in tune with, right? You're meeting with people in and out of the program, inside and outside of your athletic department. And the organization, I consider myself an organized guy, but it's a different level and a different type of organization with your life, the timing and the cadence of your days and that. So that's one, being tied to a schedule. Another one that I've been asked this question before, you know, after 1 year. So I have this answer down pat, but another one is just the perspective that's required. I'm probably an emotional guy by nature, the Italian blood in me, right? I wear my emotions on my sleeve, but there's a perspective and an emotional intelligence required when you're a head coach in this era, especially. You can't live and die with every win or loss, every possession, every turnover, every good day or bad day. You've got to maintain this perspective, especially as you're building a program and or rebuilding it in this case to, you know, building this program back up to where we feel it should be. So that's been a real, I'd say, adjustment. And I realized quickly that it's a requirement of what I'm doing now in this head coaching position.
Coming in, was there anything that you thought in your mind, I'm going to do it this way? And then when it actually came time to executing it, you thought, this isn't going to work?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, you're referring to what we call here in our office as the pivot. You think it's going to be one way, and then you're pivoting once you get into it. And I think on a small scale, we do that every day, I think. I think you've got to be agile. You've got to be mobile. You've got a view of the way you want to do it, and then you get into it, and it may not exactly work best that way or most efficient that way. Or the skill set of the guys in your locker room may not, be best suited for doing it that way. So I try to be as open-minded as I can. I'm very convicted in how I coach and my beliefs. I lean towards old school. I've got values that I think are time-tested, and I'm very tied to those. But in that same regard, I think you have to, because of a lot of different factors, the rules and how they've changed, roster building and how that's changed, and just the daily climate of our lives as college basketball coaches, I think you got to be willing to pivot and adjust and adapt. So I wouldn't say there's one thing that sticks out to me, because I think in a lot of different ways in year one, I learned how to pivot in a lot of different areas, but compromise is good. It can be a really good thing, but I think being tied to your convictions, I say this all the time, I will always coach, I'll always recruit, I'll always teach to my convictions, and I don't ever want to come off of those things. Yeah, there's a lot of adaptation, I think, that's required from all of us in this era.
What are some specific things that as you enter year two, you're like, we have got to absolutely do this differently in order to have better results this next season?
Well, you know, some of this came by way of, you know, learning tough lessons. You know, there were a couple things to me that stood out about our team last year as I kind of stepped back and take an autopsy of our season, right? And you got to be able to take what you've learned, good and bad, tweak it, and then be better for it, right? That's what we want our players to do. And as coaches, we've got to be able to do the same. So, you know, some of the big things that stand out to me is our ability to take care of the basketball on offense. That was something that is really, really important to me. And I think we were nowhere near where I expect us to be. And that's a variety of reasons. And that starts with me. You know, there's a saying out there that says you are what you emphasize. Right. And I think that's true. We certainly emphasize taking care of the ball. And I've got to do a better job of teaching that. I've got to do a better job of coaching that. That's on me as a head coach. We can't put ourselves in position where, you know, we're averaging 14 or 15 turnovers a game and expect to win, especially in a conference where we have so many close games. Mm-hmm. You know, we were 1-5 last year in games decided by 3 points or less. That pains me. We were 7-10 in games decided by 3 possessions or less. That pains me. So taking what we've learned there, applying it, and then also getting back to my quote, you are what you emphasize, but in my mind, I think you are what you allow. So putting our players in positions where we're getting live game competition, I want to be able to play more in year two. I think I probably erred on the side of drilling more and focusing on raw fundamentals. And I understand why I did that. I wanted to lay a foundation for our program so our players understood what our terminology was, how we pivoted, how we passed, how we caught the ball, how we utilized our footwork, what our beliefs were, all that. But at the end of the day, we have to, because you got all these pieces coming together in a new system, you've got to let them play and try to coach under as many game conditions as we can. So for me, that's what I believe anyhow. And I think putting them in positions to do take care of the ball and hold them accountable for turnovers in live play, I think will be important for us.
You mentioned the rebuilding of the culture. Just coming in and establishing for any first-year coach, establishing what you want the program to look like. And I just wondered what kinds of tangible things that you did in year one to start building that culture there at Illinois State.
Well, I think you've got to be very intentional about making a decision on how important that is to you, right? Because I think culture is an overused phrase in our business, in our world, in our landscape. But if it's something that's important to you, you got to be very intentional about teaching the players in your locker room, educating them on what that means, and then ultimately living that out. We're going to be very intentional from the first meeting about teaching and educating our players about who we are, what our DNA is, what our belief system looks like, what our core values are, how we operate. And, you know, this summer it's a learning process. It's a learning curve, but you know, if we're serious about implementing our culture, it should look, act, and feel like we want it to on a daily basis when we're not even around. I think that's ultimately by the end of the summer, I want, you know, our older guys to pull our younger guys and our newcomers along, and having a core group of guys back that's been through that and that can teach and pull those others along. That'll be a major advantage for us, I think, in year two, or for any coach in year two. You know, to answer get back to your question, some things that we do, educating them in a classroom setting. We've got a summer hoops, a Beyond Hoops summer series that we teach. It's more of like a professor. I'm the professor and I'm teaching a class, and you know, I utilize videos, examples, YouTube clips. We converse. We have good conversation. I ask questions. And then I want our players to share as well. There's a vulnerability that's required to immersing yourself in a culture. We all, as human beings, have walls. And in order to connect as much as and as best as we possibly can, especially when I haven't played with half of the guys that are coming in, there's a vulnerability that's required that I think is very understated in team building. I try to really encourage that, promote that, and share share my story, share our coach's story, share examples of good, bad, and ugly things that have happened in our past, and how we can learn from them and be better because of it moving forward.
A Quick Timeout podcast is presented by Dr. Dish Basketball. Dr. Dish machines are the most advanced shooting machines on the market. If you haven't already, join top programs like the Miami Heat, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Duke Blue Devils, and countless others, and upgrade to Dr. Dish Basketball. And now, save an extra $300 on select models when you mention Quick Timeout Podcast. To find out more, visit drdishbasketball.com. A big thanks to 323 Sports for supporting the show. The guys with 323 Sports are a team dealer providing uniforms, gear, equipment, and more to schools and colleges across the country. I've used them on multiple occasions, and their customer service and low prices are second to none. To find out more, visit 323sports.com, or you can reach out directly to a rep at sales@323sports.com. They'll be sure to do it right for your sports program.
Talking a little bit more basketball specific on court stuff. Okay. I always like to hear, what is the pace at which you are teaching your styles of play, and what does that look like over the course of essentially the next month and a half?
Yeah, so we're limited by hours, right? It would be great if we had unlimited hours, or certainly more hours than we have. So that right there in itself will dictate the pace. So you've got to be very efficient in what you're doing. What I can't do, and I think this would be reckless of us as coaches, is to throw them out, tell them one time, throw them out and onto the court and expect them to do it how you want it done. So I think you have to be very intentional about slowly explaining and the nuances, the details, the finer points of what you're teaching. And your players have to be able to grasp that and then put it to use, right? And I think we all have our own philosophy on how we implement that. I like to start at the ground level. You know, I told you some of my time-tested values are old school. And for me, the fundamentals of the game are so important and valuable. We play in a conference that every possession matters. So if that's the case, and you're in these grind-out games that are 2 and 3 possession games every night of your conference season, like, you got to practice for that. You've got to train for that. And at the end of the day, you're going to revert to the habits that you've trained yourself to. That's on us as coaches to prepare them, to set them up for success and prepare them for being the best that we can be. So we really start out from a basic stance, but we have to have some great pace with what we're doing and implementing our system step by step on a daily basis, very intentionally.
I've got a lot of younger coaches who listen to this show, and they've got aspirations of coaching at the college level. I'm sure they would like to hear from a D1 head coach in today's game. What are you looking for in an assistant?
Yeah, it's a great question. First of all, different strokes for different folks. Like the types of people I'm drawn to may be different than the guy next to me, but we're, you know, may have the same success, but you have to be true to who you are. So for me, guys that will align with our core values, that's really important to me. I'm not going to recruit someone that my instincts or my gut feeling or research that I do on that person, if I felt like that wouldn't align. We hired an assistant coach this spring. I went through that process, and, you know, at a certain level, you know, you're doing your background work. You're calling people. I'm calling people that he doesn't even know that I'm calling to do research on him. I'm asking questions, I'm digging deeper. But at the end of the day, when I meet that person and I connect with that person, at a certain level, you have to trust your instincts, right? And what do your instincts tell you about that person? How do you present yourself, right? Like, I found that to be something that was really important to me. Like, is this an impressive dude when he walks it? When I walk in the room and meet him, do I feel a presence? Or is this a sloppy guy? Is this a guy that, you know, there's not a whole lot of sloppy looking guys out there that are highly organized. You know, there's some human characteristics that do correlate to the workplace. So highly organized, highly motivated, humble, ability to connect, ability to communicate. Relationships are very, very important. Experience, I think holistically on my staff, I look at experience as being important because I need at least one person that has significant experience. But I also think sometimes you know, there's examples where experience can be very, very valuable to your staff. I also think there's moments where experience can be highly overrated as well, because I think when you're good, you're good. When you can connect with people, you can do that from the East Coast to the West Coast, to the North, to the South. And so I try not to get hung up in those kinds of things. Although I do think region is important in terms of where do your strengths lie. If I want to recruit throughout the Midwest, why would I hire a guy that has specialized only in the East Coast? You know, I think there is something to be said about, you know, recruiting relationships that you have within our business. But I think certain people are successful because they're successful. No matter what they choose to do in life, they're going to be successful. And I try to recruit to our staff and to our program very versatile players and coaches. And, you know, I think your skill set is very important for me as well. So having a wide variety, not just being a recruiter, not just being an on-floor coach, but having an ability to do a lot of things well.
I've talked to several guys that you've worked with and some of the guys that have come out of the Ohio State program, and it has just seemed like the head coaches there have intentionally attempted to help you all be prepared to be head coaches. How do you feel like that prepared you? What were the things that the head coach did? Everybody says that head coaches, assistants, we want to prepare that guy to be prepared to take over someday. But I also know some head coaches, it's a lot like, just watch what I'm doing and someday you'll be prepared. But it seems like there has been an intentionality to giving them responsibilities, allowing them to grow. How do you do that for your assistants? How do you help them become ready? Because I think, because I've had a head coach like this, he has empowered me to do certain things that has allowed me to grow, which I think has benefited our entire program. And in an industry where especially college coaches were so, I don't know, we're micromanagers, we're hands-on, how do you kind of let go of that a little bit to help your staff grow, but also to help your program?
It's a great thought and great question. So a couple things here. Number one, I think it's an area that I have to grow from year one to year two is ability to hand off an area of my program to my assistant coaches and trust that the job's going to get done exactly how I want it to be done. John Beilein, I speak to him from time to time. He's a guy I admire greatly. He said this to me last summer. He said, in year one, you must micromanage every part of your program. And he said, that sounds opposite of probably the advice that you're getting from other people, but you're teaching your players. Don't ever underestimate how much you're teaching your coaches too, how you want it done, how you want a document formatted, how a recruiting visit should look, how we communicate with parents, the way that we carry ourselves when we're on the road, everything from top to bottom. You know, I've been an assistant coach now. I was an assistant coach for 22 years before getting this opportunity. So I've got a pretty good idea of how I wanted to run things as a program and as a leader. Now, as I transition to year two, I think I've been pretty involved in all facets of our program. I think I've been pretty direct in terms of what my expectations are, communicating that to our staff, and then allowing them to understand the detail that I wanted things done with. I think at the end of the day, how I can help prepare them is, number one, let them know how much I care and how much I want to help them grow. Because I've been on the other side of that. And when my boss or our head coach put me under his wing and helped me and taught me and allowed me to grow, those are moments in my career as I was coming up the ranks that I think I really appreciated the most, where it was when they gave me feedback. I want our assistants to know that I'm here to help them. I don't ever want them to feel like I don't want them to grow or I don't want them to leave. Because at the end of the day, if I've got a great staff and we're doing great things here and we're getting great results, normally that means that your assistant coaches are going to be pretty attractive to other programs. That's a part of it, you know, as in terms of being like a mid-major program, is that you have to resign yourself to that fact. So I'm very intentional about communicating that to them, helping them, giving them feedback. And then we're doing end of the year evaluations right now this week, as a matter of fact. And I've met with our staff and I give them feedback on the areas that they've been responsible for, and we review the job description and things like that. So hope that answers your question. But yeah, I think being intentional about how you communicate with them, letting them know that you want to help them grow, and then giving them responsibility to do that. And I give each of our assistants a lot of responsibility, and I expect them to take those responsibilities as though they're a head coach and that's their area. So I want them to really take ownership in those things.
Last major thing here. This is specific to you and your program, but I do think that there are some things that you'll probably say that are universal for coaches. In order for your program to get where you want it to get, what do you feel like are the specific things that you need to have happen this year?
Well, we've got to continue to lay the foundation for who we want to be. That's very important to me, our level of commitment, right? Our buy-in and our commitment to what we're doing. It's one of my goals for our team every year. We say we have three goals, and one is to maximize the ability that's in that locker room, whatever that might be. Secondly is I want them to feel empowered enough that they're growing constantly, right? I want our players to be growing constantly throughout the season. I don't want to take such a small mindset that we're focusing only on wins and losses. I want our players to grow constantly and understand our goal is to be playing meaningful games in the months of February and March. So it's very process-driven. We've all heard that term, process-driven philosophy. And I want our guys to be as bought in as any locker room in the country. Our level of commitment to who we are, what we're about, and what we're doing can be unquestioned, must be unquestioned. And those are our team goals. I don't focus on, winning a championship and going to a Final Four and making the NCAA tournament. Those things, I believe, will come as a result of us doing things the right way on a daily basis. That's our process-driven mentality that we have. And, you can say it, but living that out and acting that out and communicating that to our players, I think you got to continue to do that on a daily basis.
That's Coach Ryan Peden, head men's basketball coach for the Illinois State Redbirds. Great stuff, Coach. I really appreciate you working with me to make this happen.
Tony, thanks for having me, and thanks for all that you do for coaches in our community, coaches of all ages. I think it's awesome that you take the time to do this, and I benefit from it. We all do from learning about what makes other people tick and the leadership that's required. So really appreciate you doing it, man.